Paul tells Timothy and us to do our best to present ourselves to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. We'll take a look at that truth and how to handle it next on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. All our lives we spend studying for this test, studying for that job, studying for this or that or the other thing. That's what we do. But when it comes to our relationship with Christ, oftentimes we leave off the study of God's Word, thinking it'll just happen by osmosis. Welcome to Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. If you'll join us for the next few minutes, we'll do just that. Study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved. A workman who does not need to be ashamed. With this edition of Abounding Grace, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon, and if you were with us yesterday, you know we took up a study in Mark chapter 10 of blind Bartimaeus and Jesus healing Bartimaeus of his blindness. And yesterday we were struck with the fact that although the crowds could see Jesus, although the crowds could walk with Jesus, they could see his miracles, they would not believe that they may have life, and yet this blind beggar who could not see anything was the one who demonstrated true faith. Now, what does that say? That those who could see were the ones who were really blind, and that it was the blind one who really saw. Well, that's the perspective. That's the picture that we had, that he was blind, but that he also sat by the road begging. Now, can you imagine such a life? You know, I've always said I'm a little unsure in Bellingham, you know, or in any city, when you see beggars on the corner, is it legitimate? I've been burned by giving people money, you know? But to see a blind man and a beggar, once I see him blind, then you know it's really legitimate. Look, that is a terribly wretched combination. The Bible was never silent about this, of course. The law had said certain things about the blind. Jews knew this, and this, of course, was the great hypocrisy that Jesus exposed, because they had all their convictions about certain things, the Pharisees, but when it came to the crucial issues of providing and loving for the poor, they transgressed the law. Take, for instance, what the law had said about the blind. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 14. Thou shalt not put a stumbling block before the blind. Even more fitting is Deuteronomy 27, verse 18. Cursed is he who makes the blind to wander. The law is prescribing humane treatment. It's a law of justice. God desired to see that the blind would be cared for. It did not permit people to simply ignore and let a blind man remain alone without any helping hand. Well, in our account, no one was helping Bartimaeus. So the picture's graphic. He's blind, he's poor, he's been rejected by men, sitting out probably basking in the sun as a wretched beggar. And we read in verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. This is powerful. The question we should be asking here is this: everyone is able to see Jesus and follow Jesus, but this man, totally blind, is confined to the gate, and there's a striking statement here. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. Now, we're not given great detail here, but we can picture the situation. I suppose with others it happened this way. They say that the blind love to bask in the sun in the heat of the day. It's pleasant. We can picture the poor beggar, Bartimaeus, sitting outside the gate every day, begging. But often as the multitude would pass by, he would hear this name he had never heard before. Jesus. We know that his fame, of course, Jesus' fame had spread throughout all the region. You know, all these miracles were being done. He hadn't seen them, of course. He hadn't even seen Jesus' face. He had only heard him. Everyone, of course, was referring to this man as Jesus of Nazareth. Now, we could likely read right over that, but that's very crucial here. Nazareth was despised. Nazareth was little. There was nothing going on in Nazareth. It's like saying he was from Sumas. Can you imagine such report to his ears? He starts hearing about this Jesus of Nazareth, and reports are spreading. He hears something like this. Did you hear about that Jesus from Nazareth who raised a man from the dead? Another says, oh, I saw Jesus in a room, and a paralytic was brought to him on a mat in front of us all, and in the midst of it, Jesus healed him and then pronounced him forgiven. Forgiven? This man forgave sins? And then he hears of a woman who had a flow of blood, who had been healed just from reaching out and touching the hem of his garment. And all these people, poor, wretched people, were being healed of all their sicknesses. And then, of course, there was another blind man who, when questioned about Jesus as to whether Jesus was a bad person or a sinner, and this man said, whether he's a sinner, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. You know, we're speculating at this point, but one thing is clear. This man, in the lonely hours of the day and night when there was only darkness, only emptiness, only poverty, all he could do was hear. You know this of the blind, of course. That's what happens, is that their ability to hear becomes heightened as it compensates for the loss of one of the senses of sight. Here's the most powerful thing, my friends. It was the expectation in Israel. What was it? Well, it was the expectation of what the Messiah would do. Remember what Isaiah declared. Isaiah had declared 600 years before. This is what he declared, describing the work of the Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Do you know Jesus took that section in Luke chapter 4, read it, closed the book, and in front of all the scribes and Pharisees, religious people in the synagogue, he said, today it is fulfilled in your hearing. He just said, I'm the Messiah. Can you imagine the stir that caused in the region? The one Isaiah prophesied about, Jesus said, I have come. And all the people are running around saying, this is just Jesus of Nazareth. Now, Bartimaeus sits by the road. He hears the multitude passing by. He asks what this is all about. The people tell him it's Jesus of Nazareth. And the whole thing immediately begins to center on faith. It begins to center on the confession that flows from such faith. What did Jesus say? When Jesus healed the man who was born blind, he made an important statement. This is John 9:40. And Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. That is crucial to understanding this narrative. What is Jesus' point? Those who recognize their blindness are the ones who really see. But those who do not recognize their blindness and who think that they see are the ones who are blind, wretched and poor. So that means that this whole physical account here of blindness is all ultimately pointing to the issue of whether one sees his spiritual blindness. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Bartimaeus thinks, That's not just Jesus of Nazareth. Oh no, they have a low view of Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth? No way. Who could do these things unless it were the Messiah, Bartimaeus thinks. And so notice what begins to happen. He cries out. But he had only heard, and this is so crucial, he had only heard with his ears and he had not seen Jesus. It's remarkable, isn't it? You know, we hear all this faith healing stuff today, and we have all these people like Benny Hinn and these guys supposedly performing great miracles, and they have these crusades or whatever, and miracles are done, and people are healed. You know what? None of that. And I'm going to be so bold to say this. None of that will produce any true faith. In fact, Jesus said very clearly, to the multitudes. They wouldn't come to him that they may have life. And remember what happened. He told the parable of rich man, the Lazarus, and the guy is in torments. And he says, look, send back Lazarus from the dead, and then my family will believe. And he said, if they have Moses and the prophets, that's enough. And he said, even if one rise from the dead, they won't believe. Sign seekers and miracle seekers are deceived. They're not really seeing. That does not produce true faith. Here is one who was not able to see anything physically. Blind Bartimaeus, the one who had never gazed his eyes upon the Savior, the one who had never saw him heal anyone, the one who walked about stumbling in darkness, only darkness perpetually, is the only one in this narrative who truly saw. Oh my. My friends, this is a striking scene. The superficial multitude of people who gazed their eyes upon the Savior gave a half-hearted confession of him. Oh, it's just Jesus of Nazareth. They had seen everything and they would not believe. But this man heard of Jesus, and faith comes by hearing. And he's the only one in this narrative who demonstrates true saving faith. Saving faith. A knowledge and a conviction that everything God declared in his word is true. A knowledge of Christ. Bartimaeus had heard, but the knowledge of Christ had filled him and he believed. And nothing can stop that knowledge and conviction from expressing itself in trust and faith in Jesus as Bartimaeus cries out from the depths of his heart, Son of David, have mercy on me. Dear friend, have you cried that cry today? Only eyes of true faith will make that kind of cry, resting in Jesus for life and all things through his precious blood.
Studying God's word that we might grow in our affection and love for Christ. This has been Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We come to you each and every day for a short time that we might study God's word together, that we might grow in his grace and his amazing love for us. If you have questions or comments, as always, we stand ready to do our best to answer them. We're at 360-318-0429. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. You can find out a bit more about us, United Reformed Church here in Linden, who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities, and the like, at lindenurc.com. Now, that's our website where we even have some of the past messages as preached by Pastor Chris Gordon. They're available for you to listen to. Again, lindenurc.com. And then, as always, you're welcome to join us for worship. Our service times are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. We meet at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. For directions, either go to our website, lindenurc.com, or again, call 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. We thank you for joining us today and look forward to seeing you next time for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.